Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts. We thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to open your word again. Lord, I pray now, Lord, may the Spirit of God be our teacher. As we look at your word today, as we look at Elijah, his life, Lord, we can learn so much from characters in the Bible, Lord, that were just like us. They were human beings. And God, they did things like we do. They made mistakes. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. But yet, Lord, we know that you helped them. You taught them. And Lord, we can learn through you teaching them from the scriptures. And Lord, if we'll just take heed to the word of God. And I pray now, Lord, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher as we look through these verses today. And God, may your people be encouraged. May we be challenged today to realize, yes, we do face challenges. We do live in an imperfect world. But Lord, you're going to help us through every situation that we have to face. And God, what a blessing that is to know today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, 1 Kings chapter 19, we see here, again, we're talking about Elijah. We see, first of all, in the first 8 verses, how Elijah flees. He runs into the wilderness. He runs into the wilderness. We see in verses 9 through 13 how God speaks to him. And he shows himself to him. Not speak, he shows himself to Elijah. And then verse 14 through 18, we see how God's answer to Elijah concerning what he's done. So today, as we look at this, we talked about again the timing of discouragement in Elijah's life. The timing was after a great victory there on Mount Carmel. You remember that? We talked about that. How Elijah prayed and the fire came down and destroyed the altar and everything about it. And the people were amazed at what take place and what was taking place. And of course, we look back in chapter 18 and verse number 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. And then God allowed the prophet Elijah to show the people. And God showed the people, I should say, by bringing fire down upon the altar and burning it all up, even licking all the water up, the Bible says, in the situation. So we also see not only a timing of discouragement was after that, he killed all the prophets, and Elijah was completely exhausted. Physically, he was exhausted. And then we see a note come from a lady, Jezebel, that she was going to kill him also. And then he was discouraged. He was distressed, you see, because of that. And we see there was an attack upon him by her through the note, that is. And then because of that, there was anguish, there was distress in his life. And he ran from the Lord. He ran from the Lord. And he was discouraged. Now, what is he teaching us about discouragement in Elijah's life? We know that discouragement comes to all of us, doesn't it? It does, at different times in our life. But I want us to notice, first of all, I want us to notice Elijah's position right now. Look in chapter 19, verse number 4. Chapter 19, verse number 4. The Bible says, "But he himself," that is Elijah, "he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers." He got to a point in his life, he was disgusted, he was tired, he was weary. Now he's sitting under a juniper tree, feeling sorry for himself. You ever done that? Feel sorry for ourselves. Well, this is where he was. And he requested for God to kill him. "I'd rather die than to face anything else in my life." He says, "I want you to kill me. I want you to kill me." But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice verse number 9. Verse number 9, the Bible says this, "And he came thither into a cave." Now, he's under juniper tree, now he's going to a cave. "And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Elijah's running again. He left the juniper tree, now he's going to a cave. And here we find the voice of the Lord coming to him and speaking to him and asking him a very important question. "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Now notice the response in verse number 10. "And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Well, this is his response to God. God, I want you to feel sorry for me too, after all I've done for you. You know, we see this, first of all, here Elijah here doing this. Now notice also, look also in verse number 13. Verse number 13. The first question to God, to Elijah from God was, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now look at verse number 13. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice, notice, unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, if you read the next verse, you see Elijah gave the same response the second time as he did the first time. Same response, identical words. Now, notice here something. God asked Elijah the same question how many times? Twice. Elijah, what doest thou here? He asked him twice. What are you doing here? Both times, Elijah gave the same words. He gave the same response of self-pity and defeat, if you please, to God, when he had God ask him that. Now, Elijah's problem was that he focused on the wrong things. Elijah was focused upon the wrong things at this time. We notice that when God asks the same question twice, probably we give the wrong answer first. Amen? And this is exactly what happened here with Elijah. He gave the same answer twice. And both answers were wrong. Both answers were not what they ought to be. But we find this is the way he responded to this at this time. So Elijah's position, he was at self-pity. He was worn out with himself. He was upset with everybody, even God. This is where he was at this time. Now, we see God was trying to put the focus on what Elijah was doing, not where he was at. He was fretting. He was having self-pity, feeling sorry for himself here. We see Elijah wasn't doing anything now for the cause of God, was he? He wrapped up in himself. Self-pity. And this is where he was at this time. But notice this. God has a place. God has a place and a purpose for each life. Your life, my life, everybody's life. Even Elijah, he had a place and a purpose for him. The Bible tells us if we are children of God, God's got a purpose for us. Paul tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, the Bible says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has a purpose and a plan for my life. He did Elijah. And we need to be cautious of that every day. God wants us to witness to the lost. God wants us to show God's grace everywhere we go and praise Him. Like these talking about these people did at this restaurant. That's what He wants us to do. And nothing else excites us as children of God is when we see such as that. We have a witness to that. That's what God wants me to do, no matter where I'm at. Not just here, but everywhere we go. See, and we see this here. He wants us to bring honor to God. God does in our life, no matter what we do. So we see here, Elijah's position. What is God teaching Elijah? What is God, through Elijah, teaching us about discouragement? What is it saying to me? What is it saying to you? He says, God said, what doest thou here, Elijah? First thing he's teaching us, I believe, whenever we're discouraged, we need to ask ourselves a question. When I'm discouraged, when you're discouraged, we need to ask ourselves this question right here. And that is simply, did God lead me to this place? Did God lead me to this place? And is that why I'm discouraged? That's what God was asking Elijah. What doest thou here? What doest thou here? I didn't lead you here. Why did you come here, Elijah? Why? You know, did God lead us here to this place? Now, notice in verse number 5, chapter 19, verse number 5, notice something else about what God is teaching Elijah and teaching us also. In verse number 5, "And as he laid and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise, excuse me, and eat." Arise and eat. The first thing we see about teaching us about discouragement is the fact that did God lead us here to this place. Second, we see here is God's presence. God's presence here. We see Elijah needed to learn that God is always with him. God is always with him. Man, what a blessing that is, folks, to know. No matter where I am in my life, what is upon me, affecting me, I'm conscious of the fact that God is with me. He's always with me. He's going to see me through everything that I have to face in my life. That's a great consolation for me. I don't know about you. To know that I don't have to sometimes fight my own battles. God is with me. God is for me. God's going to help me. He's going to see me through everything that I have to face in my life. And what a great consolation that is. We know back on Mount Carmel, when the fire came down and everything was burnt up and everything was done away with, after that all happened, then we find later the still small voice of God came to Elijah. The still small voice. See, God doesn't have to speak through a storm. And God speaks primarily to his own children through that still small voice. And well, I thank God for that voice. I thank God to know that when he speaks to me, I know it's him. I don't question who else it could be. I know it's him because he speaks to us. Elijah needed to learn that. I need to learn that. We all need to learn that. And when we're going through discouragement, this is what maybe God is trying to help us to see. God will speak to you. God will help you. God is going to direct you. And we'll just ask God to help us. Ask God to help us. So we see, we need to ask, did God lead me to this place of discouragement? We need to realize that we need to learn that God is always there. Even in our discouragement, he's always there. And Elijah needed to know that also. But look at verse number 7 and verse number 8. "And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Arise and eat, Elijah, because where you're headed is too great for you. You can't do it. Now look at verse number 8. "And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat." Notice, how long? 40 days and 40 nights unto her, the Mount of God. Now, what is he trying to teach Elijah here about discouragement? He's trying to teach him here, Elijah, I want you to look at your power, the power that you have. He's trying to help him to realize the angel came and fed Elijah and told him, the journey, Elijah, is too great for you. You can't take this journey yourself that I'm fixing to lead you in. He's trying to help Elijah know that, and us know that we cannot do what God asks us to do without his help. You can't do what God wants you to do without his help. Neither can I. Nobody can. Elijah's power is not in Elijah. Elijah's power is in God, you see? And he's trying to help him to see that through his discouragement. Get up, Elijah. Get going. Do what I ask you to do. In my power and in my strength, you can't do it on your own. We see here in Elijah what God is teaching him about discouragement. He's also teaching us. When we are discouraged, we need to ask the question, did God lead me to this place? We need to realize that we need to learn always that God is there. And thirdly, we need to realize that we cannot do what God wants us to do by ourselves. We need his help. We need his help. Even in discouragement in our lives. Now, let's focus on the cure or the treatment for discouragement. We saw the teaching, what he's trying to teach us through discouragement, but now what is the treatment? What is the cure for discouragement in our lives? We see it in the life of Elijah. Look back again at verse number 5. And as he laid and slept under a juniper tree, there then an angel touched him and said to him, Arise and get up, rise and walk. Arise and eat, he said here. Notice here the treatment, first of all, is God allowed Elijah to be alone with him. A godly peace, first of all. God's peace in our life. We need God's peace to take care of discouragement in our life. When we have the peace of God, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Have you ever been downhearted, discouraged, and go somewhere privately in your study or somewhere in your house or in your wherever, and get the Bible out and begin to read the Bible and allow God to speak to your heart and your soul? And all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but gradually, the peace of God begins to flow in your heart and gives you that assurance, hey, everything is going to be all right. Don't worry about it. I'm taking care of it for you. See, we need to learn that through our discouragement, and this is the cure for it, is to realize that no matter what I face, I can still have God's peace in my life. I may not have it right now, but I can have it if I get along with Him. I'll get along with Him. See, we see here, the angel fed Elijah and then let him what? He let him sleep. He didn't feed him and say, okay, get up and go. He let him sleep. We see here, he gave him time away from his regular responsibilities. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that. We need to just need to stop and say, okay, that's enough. I'm going to rest. No, I'm going to get along with the Lord. I'm just going to lay down and I'm going to rest and let God speak to me. We need that time, folks. We do really need that time. I said here a few weeks ago, you know, about always going, always doing. You know, sooner or later, we're going to crash. We're going to fall apart if all we do is go, 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 go. We're going to fall apart. We need to take time out for ourselves. We need to take time out for God. And God expects us to. He lives in this body. He knows this body just can't take but so much. And we need to realize that. See, a godly peace is a cure for discouragement. And we get that by being alone with God. By the way, we need not to make... Do not make any major life's decisions when you're discouraged. Don't do it. Most of the time you make bad decisions when you do that. Because you're not mentally thinking the way you normally would think, because your body is tired or whatever. You know, you don't make decisions like that when you're discouraged in your life. A godly peace is the cure for discouragement. Number two, look at verse number six. Verse number six. And he looked and beheld there was a cake. This is after he lay down and slept a while. And the angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. We see here, not only is a godly peace a cure for discouragement, but a godly provision. God provided him food. God provided him food because he needed that. He needed food in his body to give him strength, you see. Elijah needed food and he also needed rest. After he ate, what did he do? The Bible says he lay down again. He lay down again. Now, I'm not for somebody to be a couch potato, okay? Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you and I need to lay down and rest. These bodies. They really do. If we want to be our best for God and do our best for God, we need to take care of ourselves. God wants us to do that. A godly provision, you see. Discouraged, when we're discouraged, we all tend to depend more on our own resources when we're discouraged. And not upon God. We need to seek our provision from who? From God. Not ourselves. Our provisions come from God. See, in order to be cured from discouragement, we need to realize this. You need rest. You need food. We need to seek that provision from God. And when we do, God will give us that we need, and He will take care of the discouragement in our life. See, it's like this. When we wait on the Lord to provide for our needs, it reminds us something. It reminds us that we do not need to be discouraged. We will wait on the Lord and let Him supply our needs, and He will. Then we can see there's no need for discouragement because He's going to provide for us. He's going to provide everything we need in our life. I don't care what it is. Therefore, we need to wait upon Him. a godly provision. God will provide. God has always right, and He always will. This is a cure for discouragement. We also see something else, verse 7 and 8. Look at verse number 7. Again, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. He said, because the journey is too great for thee. Too great for thee. Verse 8 again. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the street of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto her, the Mount of God. We see here another cure for discouragement is a godly perspective, a godly view. God's view for your life. What does God want you to do for your life, in your life? We see here Elijah was not correctly evaluating the situation in his life. He was thinking like a man would think, not like God would think. See, he wasn't looking at God's view. Elijah, there's other people just like you. There's other people that are facing problems, Elijah, just like you. Elijah, don't you forget this, okay? He says they have convictions, they have beliefs also. These kind of people, they do. They have overcome the difficulties and also the discouragements you're facing. They've already overcome them, Elijah. People before you have been where you are, and they have overcome these situations that you are facing right now in your life. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Turn there. Let's look at this just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All of you know this verse by heart, but I want us to get it in our mind again. When we're going through things, we need to realize other people have been there. Now, other people have gone through what you're going through and are going through right now in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. There's nothing that you're facing that other people haven't faced. But I like those next verses, the next word. But God is what? God is faithful. You're going to face, and I'm going to face things that other people face. But don't forget, God is faithful, folks. He is faithful. Notice what he says. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able? First of all, we're not going to suffer that we're not able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God's going to make a way to escape. I can't make it. You can't make it. But God says He's faithful and He's going to make it. Amen? He's going to make that way for us to escape that temptation, whatever it is in life. If it's discouragement or whatever it is, He's going to make a way. Notice that you may be able to bear it. You may be able to bear it. There's nothing in life that we can face and bear it ourselves. We need the grace of God to bear every situation that we face in our life. And I'm so grateful today, as I stand here before you today, that God is faithful. He's faithful in everything to see us through it, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. And we'll talk about discouragement, to get discouragement out of our life. We see God is faithful to do that also. You see, the godly perspective. We also see the lives of many people in the testimonies of God's faithfulness in their difficult times. We have people in this church that God has miraculously, through your difficulties and your difficulties and your discouragements, God has faithfully led you out of that in your life. Now you're responding gradually, and God's going to continue to see you through it all. He's going to take that discouragement completely out of your mind as far as that event is concerned. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to have another one. And you know why? Because God wants us to realize we can't live in this world without Him. We can't live in this world without Him. We need Him every day of our life. I can't walk. I can't talk. I can't do anything without God's help. May God help us to realize this today. God's viewpoint is not our viewpoint. God doesn't see like we think. He doesn't respond the way we do. So we talked about here, we're talking about the treatment for discouragement. Is God's peace, God's provision, and also God's perspective. or God's view, not ours. What does God think about this situation? Okay? We also see a godly plan. Look at verse number 11. God gave Elijah instruction. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. We see here God's plan. God's plan is more important than anything else in your life and my life. A series of undertakings, things we undertake. You know what's so sad? One of the worst things is when people get discouraged, they withdraw from the service of God. Have you ever known anybody did that? They got discouraged. They're no longer in church today. I think all of us know people like that. That's the sad thing about discouragement in people's lives. It really is. Someone said, never despair. But if you do, go in your despair. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. There's victory ahead. You know, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Always. God wants you to do something for Him that only you can do, Christian. God wants you to do something for Him that only you can do. Don't be discouraged. Realize that God's plan is most important. And then last but not least, verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. A godly purpose will keep discouragement out of our minds, out of our lives. A godly purpose in our life. Elijah prayed for God to kill him, right? Did God answer that prayer? No, he did not. We see that God refused to answer Elijah's prayer to die. We also see that he did that because someone needed to proclaim the truth and he was going to use his prophet Elijah. He was going to use him. We also see that if God, taking away the problem is not the way that God usually works, by the way, don't forget that. God doesn't take your problem away, but he'll see you through your problem. He'll see me through my problem. He don't remove the problem, but he helps us to grow as we go through that problem in life, whatever it is that we're dealing with. God did not change one thing about Jezebel, did he? She's the same, as far as we know. He did not change one thing about Jezebel here, but he did change something about Elijah. He did change something about Elijah here in this event, you see. The problem is not the thing you let discourage you. The problem is not the thing, that you let discourage you. It is the fact that you let those things discourage you. The fact that you let those things discourage you in your life, you see. Jezebel wasn't the problem. She wasn't the problem at all. The problem was Elijah's response to Jezebel. His response to her, a threat. You know, notice here the treatments that God gave Elijah to overcome discouragement. God's peace. God's peace can take away discouragement. We also see God's provision. God provided for Elijah. Under the juniper tree, in the cave, everywhere he went, God provided for him. Helping him to realize, get up, boy, get up, boy, get up, boy, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. That's what he was telling him all the time. We also see his viewpoint. Elijah, look at it my way. Don't look at it your way. Look at it my way. My way is more important than your way is anyway. You know? Get up and go. The plan, God's plan. He gave him a plan. He had a plan for him. And then a purpose for Elijah. I want you to accomplish this for me, Elijah. Go in my power. Go in my strength. Don't go in your own strength. The treatment for discouragement. God's given all of us that. We're going to go through it. Yes, we are. But we don't need to stay there. okay? Because we've got a cure for it. God is going to provide for us, you see. When discouraged, never forget what God has done for you in the past. Never forget what God's done for you in the past. If you won't forget it, you'll keep going. You'll keep going. You'll keep going. Our approach to managing our discouragement will distinguish us from others. Our approach from managing our discouragement is going to distinguish us from other people. It's going to do that. Now, in closing, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. We'll close with these verses. We open this with these verses. And I want to close it with these. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to this flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, read that with me one more time. Verse number 9, read it out loud with me. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the example of Elijah. Lord, to give us encouragement, Lord, in life's challenges as we face them day by day. We thank you, dear God, for that. We thank you for your word. Lord, may we realize that your word is what we need daily in our life as we walk and live for you. Bless your people, Lord, this week. I pray you give them a good week in the Lord. And God, I just pray, Lord, that as we go forth, that we might bring honor and glory to you. Bless now the service we're about to go into. Bless the singing, bless the preaching. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, I pray they might be saved today. God, I pray your people, Lord, today might be encouraged from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.